Ah, ladies and gentlemen, the James Whale Radio Show. Ah, there we are. I'm not feeling terribly well today. So I'm doing today's program from my bed.
I got your sick note this morning.
Yeah. So I've got my water beside the bed and I'm staying put. I think I've got this man flu or something.
Oh, dear. You don't want that.
No, I don't. I really don't want it at all, but I seem to have it. Anyway, let's do the program. We've got Eugene Hideaway Bridges as a guest on a little later on.
And what does he do when he's at home?
He sings and plays guitar, but he's a blues artist from America, from the deep south. And more than that, I can't tell you. So we'll find out. I am told, though, that he talks a lot.
Okay, that might be handy.
Well, I think, yeah, when I'm not feeling so good, I think it probably will be. So I suppose the main story now we know, in fact, actually, when we record this program, the day of the debate on whether we should be bombing Syria or not. So I don't know the upshot of the vote. It looks pretty much as if they will vote to do the airstrikes.
Oh, dear.
But we don't know, do we? In fact, I can commend to you all. I interviewed John Nicol, of course. John, the navigator of a tornado shot down in the first Iraq war with his pilot, John Peters. They were the two, of course, that were on the front pages of the papers. They caught them. And I was talking to John the other day, just privately, because, of course, you know, with those two parachuting out and being caught in Syria, one of the Russians, of course, was shot. John was captured by Iraqi troops after a shootout, it has to be said, and was then held prisoner for about 8 weeks. Quite interesting. If you go back and listen to the program again, it's fairly interesting, if you like, compared with what we're talking about at the moment, isn't it?
Bit unfriendly to shoot somebody that's just parachuted out of a plane that's been blown out of the sky, isn't it?
I think it's very unfriendly. In fact, I think it's against the Geneva Convention to do that. But there we are. War is a horrible thing. So anyway, welcome to the programme. Rob, producer, is there. Say hello, Rob.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, dear. Do you know, I've got stomach cramps and I feel sick. Shall I just moan about how I feel through the whole show today?
Can you give us a bit of a moan now? Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know why I went to see the doctor, really, because I know what, you know, you pick up viruses as it is. And he said, well, you know, just take it easy for a bit, drink plenty of fluids, take a few paracetamol or Nurofen and just chill out.
So you're chilling then?
Well, sort of chilling, I suppose, yeah.
You are shivering a bit.
I am shivering a bit, yeah, but that's just what happens, and hopefully it'll disappear. There's nothing worse than listening to people on the television or radio moaning about their ailments.
No, you're right, there isn't.
So I don't know how the vote went, but I did ask on Facebook, voting on British airstrikes on Syria, for or against, and why, if you were a politician. And lots of responses. Stephen Corum says, James, I'm in two minds. Cameron goes on about how big the land army fighting ISIS are, but how good are they? And also, every conflict has to have an end game. Where will it be if we start bombing? You can't just keep bombing every 2 minutes and just not get anywhere. The USA have limited themselves to 7 strikes a day, and it's because they are running out of places to bomb. Mind you, bombing is expensive as well, isn't it?
Very.
Very expensive. Some of those bombs cost, I don't know, well, some of the really high-tech ones cost about £500,000 each.
Crikey.
Yeah. Fahim Reset says, for the past 15 years, the allied nations against terrorism have failed. Their thought processes of blowing things up to eradicate a problem has failed. These actions deal with those who commit the attacks, but it does not extinguish the threat of those who plan and, more importantly, those who finance the attacks. Terrorists do not get arms, ammunition, and bombs from thin air. They're purchased and financed. Until the stream of weapon suppliers and whoever is financing these morons is stopped, this cycle will not end. The focus of military action is misplaced. We do not need soldiers, ships, or rockets. We need intellectuals to track and find who are responsible for feeding the terrorists and stop them right at the source. Interesting point, Fahim. And, you know, the problem is that there are despicable people in this world who seem to have got their hands on I don't think there are other countries. If it was a country that was financing some of these people, I'm sure we would have found them out by now, wouldn't they? I think it's sort of weapons traders or people who hide away in the shadows who are financing this. Mind you, there are so many AK-47s in the world now, it's not difficult, is it, to get your hands on one. Mark Summers says, you can't bomb an ideology. That is what the terrorists also try to do with us, and we are not going to change as a result of it any more than they are. Sure, bombing might weaken them in the short term, but it will just create more terrorists hell-bent on revenge against us in the long term. It never solves anything. That doing the same thing, expecting different results, being the definition of madness, quotes by Einstein, springs to mind. I'm looking through a lot of these, and it's interesting that very few people are interested. In fact, we don't have any interested people supporting bombing.
Only the idiots that say, yeah, nuke 'em. But other than that,
getting rid of those. But nobody seems to think that agreeing with what David Cameron wants, and he's putting forward very strong arguments, and it looks like the majority of MPs. It's a bit silly saying this now because we know the result of the vote when this program goes out. It may be they voted against them, but it looks that the proposal they voted for airstrikes. It looks like most of the people getting in touch say no. Jeff Mason says, we are getting tired of the elite's money-making war games, so definitely no. Ben Shockley says, against, because innocent people will die too, and it will make the UK even more of a target and even more unsafe. I'd like to hear more of your thoughts on this, and we'll probably use them in the next couple of weeks. So if we don't actually start really attacking these people wherever they are, aren't they just going to fester and become more and more of a problem? Don't we need to really crack on? Your thoughts? You can always call us on our hotline. The number is
0117-230-1771.
0117-230-1771. Yeah, ring and leave a number then. We've had a few people leave numbers there, haven't we?
We have, yes.
Okay, good. Now, what else is happening in the world today? Oh dear! How come Piers Morgan and Madonna are now at each other's throats? What's going on there?
Something to do with plastic surgery, I think.
Yeah, I mean, why does Piers Morgan insist on having plastic surgery done?
I have no idea, but Madonna's not very happy about it.
Really?
No.
Why is she worried about Piers Morgan's plastic surgery?
I think he looks better now, probably.
I think you're right. You know, we could all do with a little nip and a tuck here. I was just looking at my neck the other day.
Is it more of a nip or is it a tuck?
Well, I think it just needs a little nip.
Okay.
Mind you, then it needs a bit of a tuck, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose. You can't have a nip without a tuck, I suppose. Yeah.
We should say at this point, of course, hello to those people who are listening to us from radio stations around the world who take this program. Good day to you.
Hello to whoever signed up this week. We've had a few radio stations sign up this week.
Ah, well, I'm not normally this ill, guys. I'm just feeling a bit under the weather this week.
Yeah, it's not a good week, really.
It's not a good week. But go to the website, jamesworldradio.co.uk. There are 100 more hours of programs there.
We'll improve as we get closer to Christmas, I think.
Yeah, we'll try to. What's the interesting thing I was talking about the other day? I've forgotten what it was now. I've just, you know, when you, because when you're ill, your brain doesn't really work very well, does it?
You were asking about TV repeats at Christmas.
Yeah, we got a lot of response to that, didn't we? Let's come on to that later. Why don't we give Mr. Eugene Hideaway Bridges a great name.
It's a good name, that, yeah.
It's a very, very good name. I must ask him how he got it. Why don't we call him first and have a listen to what he has to say and play a bit of his music and go on from there.
Okie dokie, I'll phone him now.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and my radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale on the radio.
Eugene Hideaway Bridges. That's a great name.
Thank you so much. I'm continuing where my daddy Hideaway Slim left off.
Where exactly are you from, Eugene?
Born in New Orleans, raised all over Southeast Louisiana. And my daddy was a Hideaway Slim. He was a blues man. He never had the opportunity to do what I do. Raised in the church as he were, you know, at age 7, he was the Sunday school teacher. His mama, my grandmother, had him in mainly in the church. And every time he went to sign a contract to play the blues, you know, my grandmother kind of, you know, intervened and stepped in and stopped him. But I'm just continuing on where he left off. He taught me when I was 2. This is my 49 year anniversary of playing guitar. He saw me with this plastic shovel walking behind him, had rubber bands on it to bring out that sound that was playing in my head. And that we're going back 49 years ago now. And he bought me my first guitar January 2nd, and it had 4 strings on it. And I had to earn those other strings. Huh. And what I mean, earn it, I had to actually play those chords and make that guitar say something, you know, not be like a politician, just talk, 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 and ain't said nothing. We call them millionaire idiots these days, but, you know, that back then, your guitar had to say something. And that's, you know, I had this melody in my head since the age of 2 years old, and it needed to come out. And when he showed me how to bring out that sound, gradually he would pop a string on one of his guitars, and he showed me how to tie it up, because we didn't have any money. And he showed me how to tie that string up and use that string again. And that's how I ended up with the other 2 strings to get my 6 strings. But he showed me how to play a chord, and he'd go shoot basketball. And not only when I'm playing the chord that he showed me, but I'm playing these melodies that's been playing in my head, you know, since I can remember. And that's how it all started. I started playing backup guitar for Hideaway Slim.
Living in New Orleans must be fairly exciting as far as being a musician is concerned. I mean, you have a lot of influences in New Orleans from all over the world.
It could have been, but I got ignored. I got ignored more than I'm still getting ignored. I'm a self-taught man, because every time I go to someone to try to learn or to try to pick up, you get pushed aside. You get kicked over. You know, get pushed over. So I never had the opportunity. You know, I'm 52 years old, and I'm still waiting for New Orleans to say, yes, we'll put a show on with you, or yes, we'll sign the contract and have you play the festival, or yes, we'll let you play. But so many doors were slammed in my face all my life, all my live-long life in Louisiana. There's a song on one of the albums. I'll be doing that tonight. It's called Louisiana Woman. Turn me loose and set me free. And it wasn't about a girlfriend or a wife or female that I was dating or whatever, but it was about the society, never having the opportunity. That's what made me run away to Houston, Texas. That's why I'm Eugene Hideaway Bridges from Houston, Texas. And I represent Texas everywhere I go because I literally got pushed aside and literally people stood in my way. And learning from my daddy and from everyone else, anytime there's a mountain in your way, you don't try to bulldoze that mountain over. You just get enough strength to keep on climbing and get around it, get over it, get under it, however it take. That mountain is going to still be there, and whether it's a negative mountain or whatever, it's still going to be there. But the energy that comes from you, that's where my music comes from. It's from the faith. It's come from belief and the strength within that brings it out. You know, little money, big money, doesn't matter. But you got to have faith and you got to have strength to bring out what's in your heart and what the real you, or else you will be stuck in Louisiana still begging for someone to actually let you, to just begging to be heard. You know, now I travel all over the world. I don't have to beg to let me be heard. I go where the music takes me, where it's welcome.
Do you think that's because a lot of people don't understand the blues? Do you think that's the reason that they make it difficult for new people to come in?
They would call it the blues, but I call it music. It came in so many styles. My music came in like it may have a country feel. The next song may have a blues feel. The next song after that may have a hip hop feel. The song after that may have a classical feel. It's the fact that it's like, you ever seen crabs trying to get out the bucket and then one climb and then others, they got four or five trying to pull him down? It's more like that. It's not about the educational side of it, you know, because I teach, you know, blues is part of the curriculum here in Britain, and I teach all over the world and here in Britain. And the headmaster from one of the schools who looks after me when I come to Britain, he got me into some of the schools, so it have nothing to do with the educational side of it. It's just, I don't know. People will stand in your way, and for some reason, you know, after 49 years, it wasn't until I left America and just walked out on the job, that the 9-to-5 that I had, because I had to have faith in myself. And to do what this music was guiding me to do all my life was to sing to the people, not at the people. And I never took the time to try to figure out why they stood in my way. I just knew I had a mission. I knew I had a job to do. And I'm glad I did.
Do you get a better reception, Eugene, over here in the UK than you do in the USA then?
I get a wonderful reception across the UK. Matter of fact, my record company, although it got a Texas name, Armadillo Music, they're from down in Dorset, and I let my work speak for itself. I let my light shine, and yes, people here in the UK have a love for the music, even when they come over to America to understand it. And looking for that sound that used to be in the 50s and the 40s, they looking for that same thing that was happening back then, that kind of groove and that kind of melody. And when they get there, a lot of times they end up being disappointed. But they do have a love for it, and they do appreciate it. They do have appreciation for it here in the UK, across Europe, over in Asia, over in Australia. And what I do is I bring them the real deal, you know, not faking it. As much as B.B. King was a big part of my dad's life and my dad was a big part of my life, I've never learned a B.B. King song. I've never learned a B.B. King song. I've never even played a B.B. King song. But the teaching that and the inspiration that he left and the legacy that he laid out throughout the years was an inspiration. Same thing with Sam Cooke. It was an inspiration. And the Beatles, when they learn about the blues and the Rolling Stones learn about the blues, it was an inspiration that made them, you know, grab their guitar and say, let me try a little bit of that. Let me have a taste of that. And and to feel as good as these cats was feeling, because it's something that made you feel good. You know, no matter what situation you was going through, it didn't change the situation, but it gave you a feeling that, you know, a lot of things could not give you. And so you can't have a way of appreciating, you know, something that's wonderful when it come their way, you know. And if you came there half-stepping, they wouldn't know that you half-stepping, you know. They're not going to just say, we're going to swallow anything. They have a way of expressing themselves as well, and having an opportunity to work with British musicians and people like Mickey Moody from Whitesnake, you know, people like the Nemo Brothers, you know, working with a lot of great musicians, you know. You know, you have a chance to be entertained as well to entertain. And so, yeah, Britain have a big love for what we have done, and I have a big love for them appreciating me for being me, not saying I want you to be like this guy who we known from the 40s and that guy from the 50s, you know, just appreciating the music that I have to offer.
So do you think there is a new culture now of 21st century blues and soul that is now coming along?
I do believe that. You know, there's been a lot of young people coming to my show, and a lot of, and you know, I hear people say, well, check out this young fella, he's 15, and wow, to be a 15-year-old kid, I started when I was 2, so there's no age limit. It's just society said, you're this age, you should listen to this, and you're that age, you should listen to this, you're female, you should listen to this, you're male, you should listen to this. Well, where I come from, you listen to your heart, and you listen to anything that really touches your heart. And if the music doesn't move you or groove you, you search for something that's really grabbing you. And the young cats in Australia and UK have come up to me saying, this is what we need to hear more of. This is kind of, you know, inspiration to me. There's a young guitar player around Britain, around London area. He called himself Zach Blues. And if I'm playing in the area, he would do his best to try to be there at my show. Matter of fact, he has opened for me before. And we have come across paths. Young kid who have a heart and a desire to learn more than just what society say, I think you should learn this because you're young, white, and you're British, or you're young, black, and you should listen to this. You know, a lot of young people from all ages. This music is for all ages, you know, and for all people, you know. And when they have the opportunity to hear this, and the blockage is lifted, where people of all ages can hear this type of music, they have more things to choose from. And my young son, he's a rapper, but when he listens to my music, it gives him more things that he can rap about. Not saying he shouldn't rap about the things he's rapping about, but it just gives him another choice. And that's what it does for the young crowd, you know, with soul music and blues music. And I'm glad to be there as a forerunner for some of the young, because during my time, I was always told, you're this age, society told me, you're that age, you should listen to that and try to segregate everything. And I'm one of the leaders that's saying, listen to your heart, not segregation.
I quite agree. I must confess that I had the pleasure of seeing B.B. King once in Chicago, and having spent some time in Chicago along a beautiful place called Rush Street and some of the clubs there, the sort of music you hear there, you don't tend to hear that kind of music anywhere else.
Yeah, there's so many different styles of blues, as many different as pebbles on a beach. And part of my class, I teach class. I have a doctorate in sociology. Your geographic location is going to dictate your sound and your story and your groove, just like different parts of Britain would dictate the accent, you know, where you're coming from. You know, Lancashire and Yorkshire, they're side by side, but it's a different sound. You know, they're close, but still, you know, they have this individual sound. With gospel music, with this blues born out of gospel, that have a big part of the different sounds. It's not just black gospel, black gospel, black gospel, as everybody always assume, but your different style, there's so many different things you're going to be singing about because these are things that you actually living for, you're actually living through. Some people write songs just so that, you know, to give you what you think you, to give you what they think you want to hear, or you say, well, I want to hear about this kind of blues or that kind of blues. You know, life is going to throw you everything. So when the different sounds, when you live through these different sounds and different styles, you know, they're singing about their reality. And certain parts of the grooves and melodies, you would only hear in certain areas. Like you go to Malaco around Jackson, Mississippi, you're going to hear a different style of sound, you know, because it represents that geographic location. It represents the people from there and what religion they're from. And you know, that plants a seed in that kind of groove. Same thing in Chicago. You got a different seed planted in that groove who don't get a chance to come to Europe, who don't get a chance to come to Asia or Australia or UK, you know, who don't get a chance to be heard, but they still have a story to tell. And a lot of society have covered all that up. You know, they overlook that. You know, it's like if I came to London and only went to, say, Tilbury, you know, Tilbury doesn't represent all of London. You know, if I went to, like, Yorkshire don't represent all of Britain, but, you know, you have to see it for what it is. And by you going there and experiencing it in person, you know, it gives you a better insight on what is actually there other than what society have offered you.
Well, Eugene, let's listen to some of your music. I want to thank you for chatting with us today. I wish you the best of luck, and hopefully more people might actually get to listen to the music that you're making now.
Well, tonight we are going to go from 49 years all the way up to tomorrow.
Eugene, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I've been searching for a long time for a true love I can call mine, all mine. Happiness was just an illusion, and my heart was filled with so much confusion. But when you came my way, my darkest cloud was soon moved away. And I tell ya,
you're the one that I need.
You're the one I need. Oh, yes, you are, baby. Your love for what seemed to be a mighty long time. Everything I ever wanted, and your smile gave me peace of mind. Now your love, it opened that door, shine a light on my life like never before. And I tell ya, you're the one.
There we are. That's Eugene Hideaway Bridges. There's a name to conjure with. Interesting man.
Very interesting man.
Very, very interesting man. So if you get a chance to go and see him, I think you should do that. Now, welcome to the programme. James Whale on the radio, James Whale Radio Show, online, on tablet, on your phone, on the radio. Where isn't it on? On your computer?
Yeah, it's everywhere, really, isn't it?
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I never actually see the point. You know when broadcasters do this, hey, listen to so-and-so on, and then they tell you where you're listening, because they must know, because they tuned in.
And the frequency, yeah.
Yeah. And so you might be listening to it online, you might be listening to it on your mobile phone. We tweet this out, so you go to Twitter, to my page on Twitter, at The James Whale, and there are loads of links there. You just click on it, you can hear the programme.
I suppose we would say, this is the James Whale Radio Show, brought to you on IP address 169.12.4.3. And
yeah,
that was how.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, that's how we should do it. But our
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, but our IP address will change every week, though.
Why?
Well, it just does. When you turn your router off and turn it back on again, you get a new one.
All right. Okay, I didn't know that. Well, anyway, nice to have you with us if you're a new listener. And if you want to mention on the programme, or if you want to get in touch, or if you want to leave a little message, you can do that on our phone line. 0117 230 1771 is the number, and you can record your message for the programme there, or if you leave your phone number, we'll ring you back maybe and have a chat online. On air. Online, on air. What's the terminology these days? It's difficult to know, isn't it?
That's true. You could leave a Christmas message for the whale on there, yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. Why don't we do that?
Yeah. Let's get in this Christmas spirit.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to email me, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Very easy, isn't it?
Yeah, no complaints, though. I get upset easily.
Yeah. Well, have you had any this week?
We always get complaints.
Do we? What sort of complaints? Read me a complaint.
Well, mostly that the show's not long enough.
Oh, right. Well, we can't do... Listen, I'm in bed ill. I can't do longer than this, can I?
No, that is true.
You know, I'm going to have to run to the bathroom in a minute anyway.
Well, shall I just bring the pot in for you?
Oh, shut up. That's disgusting. Right, what's your favourite television repeat at Christmas? That's another thing. Everybody went mental on this, didn't they?
Yeah, it's just pages and pages and pages.
We'll read out a few. We can't read out pages and pages and pages. Don't forget, if you you want to check out the website, as I said before, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, we've got a shop. You can go and buy Christmas gifts, anything with James Whale on it for Christmas.
And you missed Black Friday. We had a big Black Friday sale.
Oh, God, did we?
No, we didn't really.
No, no. Well, Black Friday sale was a bit limp, wasn't it?
Very limp, yes.
You know, the fact that Black Friday... Do you know why are we even contemplating this flipping Black Friday thing?
I don't know, we've got Cyber Monday now, but that's gone now.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's... luckily, because of the disgusting behaviour last year, which the media quite rightly highlighted, of people fighting over a television set, Black Friday, which was hyped up again this year, purely so we could all do stories... on people behaving badly, people didn't fall for it, which I was quite pleased about. Retailers decided they wouldn't give these huge discounts away either. And Black Friday is an American thing that happens after Thanksgiving. Yeah. And Thanksgiving is a celebration of the Americans getting independence over the British. So why on earth would we have anything to do with... Black Friday? I don't know.
I don't know either. We didn't have a Black Friday sale. I was only kidding before, just in case.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing is reduced. You get great value at the James Whale Emporium.
It's not really an emporium, is it?
Is it? And why not?
Well, it's only got about 5 items in it.
Yeah. Well, why don't we call it the James Whale Emporium now, and maybe we could sell other stuff in there.
So you want me to change the web address to jameswhaleradio.co.uk/emporium?
No, that would be silly, wouldn't it?
So just shop.
Yeah, just okay. Go to the shop. Go to the shop.
Okay.
Back to your favourite television repeats at Christmas. I did this on another radio programme the other day, and it was quite funny. Peter L. says he wants Wallace and Gromit. I could never, ever understand what was humorous about Wallace and Gromit.
Cheese.
Did you find it? Well, yeah, you're a big Star Wars fan, aren't you?
What's that got to do with Wallace and Gromit?
Well, same sort of thing, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is.
Kelly Walker, Only Fools and Horses. Yeah, I could go with that, but I've seen them all loads of times anyway. Richard Wright, the test card of the national anthem. He's easily pleased. Ricky Hardy, Whale on Fire.
Never heard of it.
No, I haven't, but there we are. Patrick O'Brien, don't mind a bit of Wizard of Oz, he says. Gemma Louise, Groundhog Day. Steve Black, News at 10, repeated again. Well, it's trying to be funny. Rosalind Chapman, The Great Escape. Rob Vibert, Morecambe and Wise. Yeah, I don't think you can ever have too much Morecambe and Wise, can you?
Especially the breakfast sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other one I like, I'm just getting into Blackadder again.
That's coming back.
Is it?
I think so, yes.
Oh, right. Well, I'm going through all the old ones at the moment. I mean, I'd like to see do you remember the rag trade?
No, I remember the one with the man and his dad living in a rag and bone yard.
What was that called?
Steptoe and Son.
Steptoe and Son, yeah, that was good. But around about the same time, there was another comedy called The Rag Trade. That was quite good. What else we got down here? Keeping Up Appearances. Oh, that's with the Hyacinth Bouquet, isn't it?
Bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, that is sort of funny. Maureen Brown, The Boy in the Dress. That was good. Jez Morel Porridge. Oh, I didn't find that funny, Jez, I have to be honest. John Weems, Gavin and Stacey. Yeah, I agree with you there. David Crook, Riddens. David Crook Ridden Snakes.
Rides on snakes.
Really?
Don't know. Maybe he does. Big All snake. Right.
A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge. I think you're just making things up, David, aren't you? Like your name. David Oakley, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Well, you get that and you can see that anytime you want. David says The James Whale Show, and Stephen Foxcroft says Mary Poppins. So those are just a few, loads and loads of what you would like to see coming back as far as repeats at Christmas. Mind you, is there any point? Because there are so many channels that carry out repeats. I was watching The Professionals again the other day.
That's going back a bit. Yeah, there's no...
With Bodie and Doyle.
There's no need for repeats anymore with catch-up TV, is there?
No, exactly. You can see anything you want. Mind you, there are some things that are just not likely to be brought back, like... what was that one with the neighbours? A black neighbour and a white neighbour. That would never come back.
I can't think of anything else that I'd want to come back.
There are lots of movies I like to look at again and again and again. And if I can, I will.
I'm going to put Star Wars on repeat over Christmas.
Yeah, but, you know, they're bringing out a new one, aren't they?
That's what I mean. I'm going to go to see it several times.
Well, what would be the point of going to see it several times?
Because I've got free passes.
How many free passes have you got?
Unlimited. I can see it as many times as I like.
How did you do that?
I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I'm going to see the cast and et cetera on Friday.
Loads. You're going to see the cast on Friday?
Not the main cast, some of them.
Where?
Manchester.
One of these big sort of, what's it?
Yeah, they bring the props and everything.
Where they all stand around and you get your photograph taken with them.
Yeah, I'm going to sit in an X-Wing fighter.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. You're easily pleased, aren't you?
I might even get to fly the Millennium Falcon.
No.
Yeah.
I might come with you, but I don't think I'll be feeling up to it.
We can wheel your bed.
Yeah, I suppose I could, really, couldn't I?
Shall we do tech talk?
Yeah, I suppose we can. If you want to do tech talk, is there anything technical you can talk about?
I want to talk about fairy lights.
You want to talk about fairy lights?
Yeah.
I don't like all those fairy lights. I hate those people who put... Oh, I don't hate them. That's a bit much. But, you know, when they have all these lights like icicles hanging down, which are lights, and they decorate the front of their house. You don't do that, do you?
No, not at all, no. We have two Christmas trees, though.
Why?
Just because we've got a child, really.
We don't need two Christmas trees because you've got a child. Why would you do that?
Well, because, you know, just one for the child to decorate and enjoy, and one that we enjoy that isn't so gaudy.
Do you farm the child out then?
No, not normally. Why? Are you interested?
No, I don't want a child, no. Oh, dear. No, I don't want a child. I just wondered why. I can't understand two Christmas trees. So you have one in the dining room, one in the living room. Where do you put them?
What, one in the games room and one in the living room.
One in the games room? What a posh prat you are. One in the games room?
Yeah.
I didn't know I had a producer that was really a lord. Oh, come into the games room, my lord.
I'm actually a lord. I paid for one of them silly bits of land in Scotland ages ago.
You did not.
I did.
Where is your silly bit of land?
Oh, I don't know, somewhere in Scotland. I've only got a metre square.
Oh, right. And are you lord of it?
Yeah, and I can go hunting on it. I can put a tent on it, just about. Well, I can probably stand up. Actually, no, I could, because I bought my wife the adjacent plot. So, yeah, we could probably fit a tent.
How much should that cost?
Oh, it's about 80 quid.
And have you never been to see it?
No.
Have you never got a photograph of it?
Oh, there's plenty of photographs online.
And have you fenced it off?
No, you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to fence it off?
But you are allowed to put a tent on it. And hunt
That's
on
ridic-
it.
People are just selling stuff that...
Yeah.
Can we do that? Can we not get a field and just sell bits over and over and over again?
Yeah, but the field has to have a title on it, though. You can't just sell your garden and say your Lord Whale.
Well, how many lords are there, then?
Oh, hundreds.
You've got the title and you're not the only lord, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a lord and my wife's a lady.
A lady? Gilbert, that's ridiculous. Do you ever use the title when booking a table at a restaurant?
I did once. I got a delivery sent to Lord Oldfield to my shop.
You did not.
I did, and the delivery driver looked at me very funny. And I signed it Lord Oldfield when I... but I've not sent the paper... You know, you're supposed to register with Deedpoll and all the rest of it. I've not sent that bit of paperwork off because I think it's stupid.
I think it's pretty stupid paying 80 quid for something you're never going to go and see.
It was a gift. It was more of a jokey gift, but it was a gift.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, when whoever owns that piece of land wants to sell it or... They've sold so much of it to different people. I don't understand how that works.
You can't sell it. And they can't sell it either. Once they've sold your metre square, you own it forever. You can also pass the title down.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, you better... Listen, you better... you better register it.
Would you like me to register you as a lord?
Yeah, register me as a lord and we'll call me Lord Whale of Wham or something. No, perhaps not that. Well, call me Lord Whale of, what's it, of Widget.
Yeah, you should have heard of the edited version. Lord Whale of Widget.
right, okay. So, you still didn't tell me. You've got one in the games room.
Yes.
And
one in the living room.
And one in the living room. So, you do the living room. So, if you get friends in, they don't think you're childish. And she does the one in the games room.
Yeah, my daughter puts all her little homemade, school-made things on. You know what I mean.
No, I was never that nice to my kids.
So the stories are true, then?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they had to live in a cave.
Can I tell you about my fairy lights now?
Yes, I forgot where we were. So I was only going on about Christmas decorations. We don't do any, actually.
No, I've noticed.
Yeah. Don't send cards, either.
I always send you a card.
And I wish you'd stop. I mean, it doesn't make me feel bad. I just think, what a waste of money.
Yeah, but you'd get upset if I didn't send you a card.
Just send me loads of presents.
I'll send you loads of presents.
But don't send me a card.
I've got...
And not a religious card, either.
Oh, I sent you one of my dog last year. That's not religious.
Yeah, but that was just because you just got the dog and you were in love with the dog and you wanted everybody to see it.
That is very...
How is your dog, by the way?
My dog is fine. I had to give him a groom the other day.
There are people who do that.
Yes, I know, but that costs money. I'm very tight. I've got two Christmas trees to pay for.
Yeah, you've got a piece of land to look after.
I've got to pay someone to go up and mow it.
Now, shall we do tech talk? Or
yes.
Just ramble on about nothing?
Tech talk. Fairy lights.
Fairy lights, that's it. Go on.
Yeah, if your Wi-Fi slows down, it's probably your fairy lights. End of tech talk.
Sorry. Do that again.
If your Wi-Fi in your house slows down over the Christmas period, it's probably your fairy lights.
Why would your fairy lights slow up your Wi-Fi?
Interference.
Really?
Yeah.
So what about the light I have on in here at the moment? Is that interfering? Should I turn that off?
Well, is it one of those energy-saving light bulbs? Those interfere with infrared remotes. If you find you having to press your remote button sometimes because your TV won't turn the channel, it's usually those very cheap energy-saving lights, the frequency they give out also interferes.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So baby monitors, things like that, security cameras, all that kind of stuff, all slows down your Wi-Fi. But this time of year, if you've suddenly noticed your Wi-Fi's gone a bit crap, turn your fairy lights off.
Turn your fairy lights off.
And even if everything I'm saying is a load of rubbish, at least loads of people are going to turn their fairy lights off.
Well, that would be an improvement, wouldn't it, in my view? Yeah. Okay.
Doing a service.
Yeah, that's very good. So if your Wi-Fi slows down, turn off your fairy lights.
Yes.
Good. And that's a good reason not to put fairy lights up.
Oh, we got flashing white ones on the tree in the games room.
Oh, God, you've got them up already.
And coloured ones in the living room.
And did you buy the Christmas... Are they real Christmas trees or are they pretend ones that come out every year?
The pretend ones that come out every year. I'm very cheap when it comes to things like this.
Buying only a metre of land and getting a title deed. Anyway, I think we're nearly at the end of the programme now, so perhaps we should do questions for the great whale.
Why not?
Yeah, you find the page. Don't forget, everybody, you can get in touch with me. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. Always good to hear. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com if you want to get in touch. Or, of course, you can call us on 0117-230-1771. Leave a message for us there and we might play it out on the programme next week.
Matt Compton, are curly whirlies too elaborate?
Can you come back? I can't hear you. You disappeared. Where are you?
I'm here.
No, you've gone right off microphone.
I'm still here. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you've gone very quiet.
Okay, I'll try and talk louder then. Is that better?
Doesn't it sound different to you?
No, it's perfect to me. Maybe your ears are going funny.
Say again?
Maybe your ears are going funny.
No, you've just disappeared like you're down the end of a tunnel. Okay, so, yeah, carry
as
on.
As long as you can hear me, that's fine.
Okay. Just.
Matt Compton, are curly whirlies too elaborate?
Yeah, I think basically when you want a chocolate bar, you just need a chocolate bar. You don't want all this stupid curly-whirly business. It is too complicated, yeah.
Also, when you bite into them, all the bits of chocolate fall on the floor.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then what use is that?
Peter Jenkins, if sex is the original sin, why did God make it so pleasurable?
Just to see how he could wind you up.
Dan Apps, Stones or the Beatles?
Stones, always the Stones. Thank you, Dan.
John Richards, how reliable will Facebook and Twitter be after nuclear Armageddon? Blimey.
Very reliable. But make sure, never mind the nuclear bomb, just make sure you turn your fairy lights off. Yeah.
Exactly. Nikki French, why don't you come to LBC and shake everyone up with your wit and talent?
Well, I think I have shaken everybody up at LBC with my wit and talent twice now. So you never know. Maybe there will be a third time in the offering, but I can't see that happening for a little while.
Ooh.
Hang on. Don't go away. I'll leave you turned on, right?
Okay. Well, that's the reason why I don't go around your house often.
Well, do you know, it's a bloody nerve, these people. It's one of those charity muggers coming around. Oh, how are you? Have a good day. Just annoy me. Just annoy me. Why on... And then had to get me out of my sick bed to run downstairs to do that.
Slamming the door in the face. That's awesome.
I didn't slam the door. I just...
That was a slam.
It wasn't a slam.
Or we'll let the viewers decide.
Anyway, where were we? Do we got any more or is that it?
Yeah, we got more. Delwyn Meek, What do people think they'll find behind the wall of King Tut's tomb?
Well, it's interesting. Could be an ensuite, of course. But it is fascinated by that, aren't you?
Have they found his wall?
Well, they think it's the burial place of Queen Nefertiti, who was the real power in Egypt at the time. And they think it might well be her burial place. I'm surprised they haven't opened it yet.
I'm going to have to do some research into this.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing I would have thought you'd be interested in.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if they knock the wall down and end up in your bedroom while you're ill?
Oh, shush. Oh, come on, I've got to go to the loo.
OK. Alexandra Nicole Hazlitt. Do you ever get mistaken for the film director?
No, never.
Okay. And Julia Tompsett, is that right?
Yeah.
Why am I the only person among my Facebook friends that doesn't give a crap about Adele?
Because you have no soul.
She's doing well at the moment.
Adele, I didn't like Adele. I've never met her, but I just didn't buy into all that stuff. And then when I saw on the television the other night doing that show, I thought, yeah, it's really good.
With Graham Norton.
I've subsequently been listening to some of her music.
Yeah? Any good?
Yeah. Yeah, she has got a really good voice.
I'll go and check
it out. In my humble opinion.
I've got one of her old albums. Is it either 19 or 21? I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah. Well, start off with the oldies and build it up.
Okay. Well, you better go and sort yourself out.
Yeah, I'm gonna go and do stuff. Yeah.
Yes. You go and do stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll put this show together somehow.
Oh, lovely. Thank you very much indeed, Robbo. Well, it's been lovely meeting with you again.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Bye-bye!
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.